You are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
So, is mustard gas made from mustard?
God, that was a bad joke.
I thought it was kind of good.
Well, I mean, if there's ketchup bombs, then I guess there's mustard gas.
If there were ketchup bombs, that would be... What would that entail? I mean, I guess that makes sense. Ketchup bombs.
You know, that would actually... Stuff. That's my own personal hell, because ketchup is the worst thing.
No, ketchup is great. You're insane.
No, like... Aww. Okay, so... Ketchup and mustard are okay. They're okay. But when they touch my skin, they don't leave.
What?
Like, okay, anytime mustard or ketchup get on my skin, I hate the way ketchup smells. But mustard, like, I touch mustard even.
Yeah.
And, like, that I smell my finger 5 minutes later, and it's still there.
You know what the best condiment is? Is mayonnaise.
Get the fuck out of here.
That is the best condiment ever, and I'm not just saying that because I'm white. Because, for whatever reason, that's been, like, attributed to white people. White people like mayonnaise. It's like, yeah, because it's good. You know, on a sandwich, on a nice turkey sandwich with some provolone cheese and some turkey. Oh, my God.
That is the whitest sandwich, I feel like.
It's fantastic.
That is the whitest boy sandwich.
Yeah.
With white bread?
I'm not a savage. I don't even use white bread. Now, that's a stereotype, goddammit. I don't appreciate that. No, we use, like a nice Kaiser roll. That's what we're all about, you know from where I'm from the great state of New York. From Buffalo, New York, one of the great American cities in this country. But yes, welcome everyone to We Are Error Reviews. I, of course, am Chris Herman. I am joined by John Romo and yet again by Justin Zarian. This is the first time Justin's not reviewing a Telltale game with us, but actually Battlefield 1. Justin, how you doing, sir?
When I first signed on for this review, I didn't know what to expect. I was tired of Batman. And I needed something else to savor my video game lust. Little did I know that Battlefield 1 would put me through the test.
Okay, that was creepy as hell. So we're just gonna get right into it. You know, Battlefield 1. I think when this game was first revealed, I was just struck that DICE, who of course is the developer of this, and EA, who was the publisher, were kind of going this direction with Battlefield, especially kind of with a lot of more modern first-person shooters. They're all, like, shooting for the stars. Like, it has to be super futuristic. It has to be, like, sci-fi based or something
so
like
much.
That. You know, with this, with Battlefield 1, EA and DICE decided to go back in time, kind of to those old days, like World War II. But instead of World War II, it's World War I. Probably one of the most unexplored, like, conflicts, I think, in video games, like, ever. And...
Well, it's unexplored in, like, all fields, really.
As someone who isn't too familiar with... like World War One, I kind of just on that onset, I appreciated that EA and DICE were both going for that. I mean, John, what was your kind of first reaction to seeing? That fact that it would take place during World War One.
I think I've talked about this before. It was very much a good parallel to the Xbox PS4 relationship that had been built up, where Xbox One fell on its ass, and then PS4
on its launch.
Like, on launch, and then PS4. Like, hours later at its conference, just, like, has a smug look on its face because it knows it did everything correct. The same way where we had that Call of Duty 4, or ass, whatever.
Call of Duty, Infinite Warfare.
Whatever the fuck it is. Yeah. In space. We had that reveal, and then Battlefield 1, like, a week later has its reveal. And just, I felt like EA sat back and like, yeah, we gave you what you wanted. And it's exactly what I wanted. I was so hyped because I am ready after so many first-person shooters. Like, having jump booster packs and, like, dodge boosts. I was ready to just, like, have boots to the ground, like, gameplay. Mm-hmm. And Battlefield very much feels like that. It's just very simple, straightforward, point, shoot, run behind cover, and watch things blow up. And it's exactly what I wanted.
Justin, what was your kind of first reaction upon seeing, you know, Battlefield 1 for the first time? Like, that initial, like, reveal trailer.
Well, the first thing was it rekindled my love for the White Stripes because that Seven Nation Army song was playing through it. And I'm like, gosh, I love this music. But I also was really excited, too, because I mean, I'm not nearly as tired of futuristic shooters, but it was nice to see a refreshing new setting that we had to play in. And World War One, as I kind of mentioned before, it's really unexplored in all fields of media because it's so saturated with history that's very sensitive and touchy and controversial, especially. So it's just, it's really cool to see the way that they approached it. And granted, we'll probably get more into this later, that's a very fantasized World War One, to be fair, but it's still fun and really engaging to play with this, you know, type of setting itself.
I mean, yeah, especially when it comes to, I think, the single-player campaign, which I'll say right now, I think this is the best Battlefield campaign, certainly probably since Battlefield Bad Company 2, where instead of just being a one, instead of being one single campaign, it's actually told through, like, vignettes. Like, I think five different vignettes, and kind of exploring different areas of where the conflict took place around the world. And I liked how the theme of each is to show just how, like, how desperate and how almost like how everything that everyone is fighting for around the world is kind of for nothing. Because it's, what's the description of World War One? That it was the war. It was the war to end all wars, and it didn't war a goddamn thing. And that's actually absolutely true, because it actually made the state of the world worse, and eventually led to, you know, the rise of fascism in Europe and also in the East. And yeah, again, the World War II. And so I loved, first of all, I just love all the different types of campaigns. Where I think in the first campaign, you're part of a tank battalion, and where it all takes place like around this British tank squad, and you're like fighting in France, and you kind of get to see firsthand what like trench warfare looks like, and you're fighting against all these kind of turn of the century tanks and turn of the century technologies, which I think is great. And then As the you see more of the campaigns, like one is all about like kind of aerial combat, and another one kind of takes place in like the Italian countryside, where you actually like use like a suit of armor, which I thought was just so unusual. I'd never heard of that. It was called, yeah, it's Avantis Savoia. And then of course you kind of go to more to the Eastern conflict with the Runner, which you actually follow an Australian soldier in like an Australian regiment. And then finally into the Middle East with the campaign Like Nothing Is Written, where which is, I think, is really cool. It's narrated by Lawrence of Arabia. And then you play as a Bedouin woman, almost like a Bedouin assassin fighting the Ottoman Empire. Like, I loved how each little vignette was so different from the others. And yeah, it had certain like in terms of like the gameplay, like the shooting mechanics was all similar, but like the setting and just the overall aesthetic made everything feel so unique. I mean, John, I mean, from what you've played with from the campaign, do you feel similar to this?
Definitely. There's one you forgot to mention, mm-hmm. and it is actually my favorite. I think the game pushes you into it immediately.
It's the opening. Yep.
It's
right,
the opening,
right.
The prologue, Storm of Steel, set in 1918. You take control of different members of the Harlem Hellfighters.
Yeah.
And it just felt really impactful, because what happens as you're playing is your character dies multiple times. You're supposed to die. And each time it happens, you get overrun, mm-hmm. and it flashes the name and the age, yeah. and just like your time of death, your time of birth. And something about that, because you don't get to know your character at all. You just die immediately, but they are a person and mm-hmm. they have a name. Something about that just... it really hit hard. Maybe it is because they give it such a great opening with, mm-hmm. you know, the war to end all wars. It ended nothing. It talks about how so many people died, and like, to really think, I don't actually know much about World War One. I feel like it isn't really talked about very much in school.
The Americans didn't get involved in the conflict till the last year.
Yeah. So like, it's to think about all this death that was happening, and like, there was a moment I was playing the mission and I was like, this feels brutal.
Yeah.
I feel kind of weird about playing it. And it also ends great, where it's just kind of a standoff between one of the Harlem Hellfighters and one of the enemies. And it's just
a German soldier.
And it's just kind of like thinking about, I thought about, neither of these men know each other,
mm-hmm.
and they have no ill will towards each other.
Mm-hmm.
Yet everyone's just killing.
Yeah.
And something about that. And I think the presentation, Battlefield 1 is brilliant at its presentation. It may be telling similar gameplay mechanics that we've seen before, but it presents it in such a heartfelt, Oscar-ish way.
Mm-hmm.
And which, I guess, in this case, I hate Oscar bait, but
high-minded.
Yeah, high-minded. And it just has a nice look to it, and it's just presented in such a way where I actually felt impact for the first time in a game like this since Call of Duty 4.
Yeah.
And Call of Duty 4 is one of my favorite FPSs of all time. So getting compared to that is saying a lot.
Mm-hmm. Justin, what did you think of the campaign vignettes?
Oh, I was just going to let John continue. He said everything I needed to say. Full price. No. I was really... I mean, where would you like me to begin? I mean, there's so much that we can talk about that John has already covered.
Yeah, just whatever is your favorite part. Like, which was there a certain vignette that really stuck out to you?
Oh, right. Well, I just got to say, like, the single best thing, like John said, is that opening prologue. Because I had some highs and lows in my opinion of the campaigns, but that prologue said everything you need to know about Battlefield 1, about World War 1, about just the way it's presented. It was mind-boggling, whatever the word is. I can't even think straight. It was so good. Because, yeah, it was really cool to see the way that it referenced a lot of stuff from World War One, especially what John was saying, that bit with the German soldier and the American soldier. It really struck me of that famous story about the two armies that for one Christmas had a peace, and they played soccer with each other that whole time. And just that momentary peace and silence in the middle of all this death and chaos. It was just really amazing the way they captured it. And one thing I gotta say for why that scene worked so well, Battlefield 1 may have one of the best scores of any video game I've played all year. Just the music that was composed for this. And I looked up the names of the composers because I really gotta give them credit. The guys who did this were Patrick Andrin and Johan Sudokvist. And one of them, I believe, was the composer from Let the Right One In, that vampire film from several years back. And... yeah, it was just amazing the way that they really built every single mission around these great, great music pieces. I don't know, what else is there to say on this?
Yeah, no, I agree. I think the music does a great job of just kind of showing the sense of awe that the overall campaign has, all these vignettes. And in each, I think, particular vignette, that the music is a little different. It kind of fits the particular area, like in the one where you're fighting like the Ottoman Empire, as the Bedouin warrior, it has more of a kind of an Arabic kind of Persian kind of sound to it, which I think is really cool. And again, in more of the opening ones, I think is with the tank squad, it kind of takes on something like more of a Western theme to it, which I think is great. I love how they're kind of exploring all these different areas and really cultures. You know, I mean, I can't really think of a previous Battlefield game that did that, or any kind of even Call of Duty game, which I think is the one where you can probably compare it to. But yeah, kind of moving on from that, is kind of like the multiplayer, which I think is what a lot of people buy Battlefield games for, is for the multiplayer. And for me, like having, you know, the last multiplayer that I played in a Battlefield game was Battlefield 3, and I was actually fairly disappointed by it because it kind of felt really generic and it didn't capture that replayability that I felt with like Battlefield Bad Company 2. But with Battlefield 1, I definitely feel that, because to a certain extent is because of the aesthetic and a number of the modes, which I think, you know, John, we've said this off mic, but I think one of our favorite modes is actually Operations, which is this very large scale type battle where it can actually go on for like hours, and where you actually like move up through like each section of this ridiculously huge map, and you like capture points, and, you know, playing as either side. And for me, I think that's like one of the best multiplayer modes. And of course, you also have a Rush and Conquest, which are both beloved multiplayer modes in the Battlefield series. You know, I love Conquest, and that's very kind of like a large scale type map. Rush is kind of like a smaller version of Operations, and you also have one of my other favorite modes is Dominations, which is pretty much like Capture the Flag to a certain extent, where you have to capture like key points. It's very fast paced, and you know, those matches can like kind of end in like 8 minutes depending on how many flags you're able to capture. You also introduce a new game mode, which is called Warrior Pigeons, which basically has you and your team going around a map and capturing pigeons, racking up points. And then I think eventually they said eventually that EA and DICE are going to start adding new types of multiplayer modes. But that's kind of the main multiplayer modes right now. I mean, John, you've probably had a more experience with the multiplayer than anyone so far. I mean, what has been your kind of experience with it?
It's both been good and bad. Mm-hmm. I think, well, first off, I've had a full squad opportunity to play in Operations. Like, we had an entire squad of five guys. Mm-hmm. We're all communicating well. I think that is the best way to experience Battlefield. At least have a couple buddies in your squad and really play Operations. And it really, to me, captures that feeling of war where you are part of a large, massive scale thing. Mm-hmm. but your experience in itself is so intimate and somewhat isolated between you and a crew.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of overwhelming in a sense. And sometimes I think a negative is sometimes you don't quite understand how much of an impact you may be having until certain moments when you realize everything has come together and everyone is bum rushing a certain point and you've somehow fought the enemy off like inch by inch.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very kind of slow burn game mode,
yeah.
Which, you know, for some may not be the best. Like I think you've mentioned, I don't have 45 minutes to commit to a single match.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the problem I've mentioned with like a MOBA, like League of Legends. I don't have the time to commit to that. But if you do, it's a very different way to play an FPS. And it does combine elements of Rush and Conquest.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's really great. The mechanics, the mechanics of the gameplay of multiplayer, you can pick four different type of classes, Assault, Medic, right. Support, and Scout. And they all play very differently. And they all have a very important role to play, especially in operations. Squads are five people for a reason, because you need to try and get one of each and multiple of some, depending on your situation. It can be frustrating getting picked off by a sniper out of nowhere.
It's happened quite a few times.
But
yeah.
you've talked about off mic. We've talked about off mic how it's important to, like, as you play, you start to see and really feel for your environment and really learn where mm-hmm. a sniper should be. And it kind of plays into that element of knowing your environment. Like, that's important in war, and that's important in battles. And I think Battlefield rewards you for putting the time into it. And it also, I think the spawnable classes like Tanker, Pilot, and Cavalry,
mm-hmm.
they all play really well in operations because
yeah.
it's so wide. On the negative side, I have played a little bit of Team Deathmatch in these, you know, regular type scale game modes, and it just doesn't work as well for me.
Mm-hmm.
It's, I don't know, Battlefield, at least from what I've played so far, has just worked better when it's objective-based and not...
Yes.
Run and kill, because the game's a little slower. Like, you don't move as quickly, maybe because I'm so used to all the new dodge boost gameplays.
Yeah. Something like Call of Duty or Titanfall, yeah. which are very fast-paced. This is a little slower.
Yeah, so those kind of matches and that kind of playstyle doesn't really function here, and it will take a second to get used to.
Mm-hmm.
But if you, like, really committing to operations or, you know, Conquest, Rush, stuff like that, the more objective-based things,
mm-hmm.
Battlefield shines. And again, that presentation comes through. It looks stunning for how many people are playing.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the little, it's a small detail, but the ability to pick your server, something
yeah.
PC-esque that they're bringing to consoles. It's small details that I really think Battlefield crushes it in and makes the overall experience just that much better. Okay, I have to say this real quick before I pass it on to Justin. During single player, you get to shoot a tank,
mm-hmm.
the first thing.
Yeah.
You can hear the bullets hit the floor when you're using the machine gun.
Yeah.
And I literally paused it and wrote it down in my notebook like, the fuck, this is awesome. Okay, now I'm done.
Yeah, but again, it's just that great aesthetic that it has
yeah.
in terms of like sound design especially. So Justin, what's been kind of your experience with the multiplayer?
Well, pointing the sound design is a really good thing, because I feel like DICE, that's one of their strong suits, is it's a very atmospheric, accurate, and yet also distinct sound effects, because compared to a lot of other war games, they really have unique ways that they capture the sound, unique ways they implement it, and it's really, really just immersive and really, you know, it really sells you on the period of the story and the game itself. Multiplayer, the general experience that I have is running forward, getting shot, respawning, then running forward and getting shot again, and respawning, mm-hmm. and then running forward and getting shot again. But unlike Call of Duty, I agree with John that this is a much slower paced game. This is a much more deliberate, much more lived-in experience of battle. But it also, it gives you a chance to be more tactical. It gives you a chance to be more, you know, in tune with the squad that you're working with. It gives you a chance to really feel like you're part of this giant epic scale. And I think that really works for me personally. I mean, I'm a huge Call of Duty fan, so don't you besmirch Call of Duty, John. But, I really do like this style. And I really haven't played a lot of Battlefield multiplayer. Even the few times I have with Battlefield 3 and 4, they're okay, you know? But I feel like they really fine-tune the mechanics of how gameplay works with this. And all the matches feel really balanced. Operations is just so involving. Like, especially the big thing that I always liked in Operations was when they introduced the big, what is it, like the blimps or the trains for whoever's the losing team. And
yeah, the Zeppelins. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. And that really just changes the dynamic, because there's nothing more fun than sitting in one of the bottom gunners, gunner seats, and just picking off people on the ground. Just like, all you puny ants must die now. But the only catch is that, just like in all Battlefield games, trying to actually get a spot in a vehicle or in a blimp is a pain, because the instant you click on it, you're like, what? You have to put me on the top where there's nothing flying around me? What am I supposed to do with this gun?
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I mean, multiplayer...
That's true. Yeah, it's more for aerial combat, I guess.
It is, and it's just, it's inopportune when they just put you there just like, all right, have fun, wait for a plane. But, overall, yeah, the multiplayer experience, I actually really dug this more than the campaign, which I did like the campaign, but the multiplayer felt more fresh this time around, and it really just gave me incentive to come back. I mean, when I have time, of course, but because, like you said, 45 minutes is a long time to invest in one match. But I really don't have any complaints in the multiplayer section other than that.
Yeah, I guess for me, if I've had any complaints about the multiplayer, maybe just the game in general, is that I noticed there is some rubber banding. Like, even in the single-player campaign, I noticed that. Typically, that's like an online-type problem. But I noticed that there is some rubber banding in, throughout like several multiplayer matches that I've played, probably more than several. I think almost, I wouldn't say every other match, but probably like every three matches, I noticed that there was some kind of rubber banding. But also that with the multiplayer, it takes a long time to get into a game.
Yeah.
Like, but whereas when you finally do get in a game, and if you're able to connect to the next match, like after you complete the first one. So, but yeah, those are really the only two complaints I have about it. I was really impressed with the campaign vignettes. I think they're great. I wish there were actually more of them, which I think is a great feeling. Like, I feel wanting. Like, I would love if there was a DLC where they would release, like, another, if they, you know, with their, like, your DLC plan that they have, which would probably just be multiplayer-focused. If they were to release, like, one vignette for each of those DLC packs, I would totally want to play all those things.
And how many times have we asked for more campaign from a first-person shooter lately? Mm-hmm. Like, especially a military first-person shooter.
Yeah, exactly.
I haven't, like, wanted to return to a campaign since Call of Duty 4.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no doubt about that. So, yeah, and I've really been enjoying my multiplayer experience with Battlefield 1. Again, it's probably other than like Overwatch this year, it's the game I've been playing the most multiplayer with. So yeah, for me, just to kind of go on the final thoughts, with the exception of those few problems that I've had with the game, I think this is one of the best games of the year. Certainly of all the big kind of military first-person shooters, I think people should definitely get it. And I just want to congratulate both EA and DICE for really crafting a quality first-person shooter. And so for me, yeah, I'd give this 9 out of 10 Burning Zeppelins. I mean, John, what about you?
Yeah, there are problems with it, as naturally there will come. You're trying to have 64 simultaneous players, like, in these large-scale matches. But the fact that it works almost a majority of the time, at least for me, and being able to have those moments in multiplayer with my friends and really feel like, from one instance, feeling like I'm so minuscule, to the instant where, like, oh, I just captured this objective for a whole team. Like, I get to extend the gameplay for another 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. So multiplayer is fun. It's definitely different than I think what some people might be used to. It's a little slower. It's a little more methodical. You'll find yourself, in Justin's case, running up, sniper got you in the face, respawn, running up, sniper got you in the face. Definitely a learning curve.
5 minutes straight.
Yeah, definitely a learning curve to it. And trying to snipe on its own is very hard. But then got to return to that single player, which is a whole new heartfelt experience of a war that we don't see enough. And I think it's going to lead people to kind of get more interested in the topic. And, you know, you're going to want more. And there's nothing I could say about a game nothing better to say about a game that leaves you wanting more of it, that you want to keep playing. Mm-hmm. So I definitely have to agree with you on that score. I'm going to give it 9 out of 10 War Pigeons.
Very appropriate. A lot of pigeons in this game. What about you, Justin? What were your kind of final thoughts on the game?
It's funny, just even you guys saying your final thoughts, I thought of maybe three key points I want to get off my chest before I give my score. One, the only other problem I had with multiplayer was that there was a lot of physic breaking, where your bodies will just kind of phase through doors or phase through the ground every now and then, which is kind of to be expected with a Battlefield game, but I'm not too bothered with it. And then second, it's... this is probably my biggest thing with the game, is that the campaign is very inspired. It's a very unique way to tell the campaign with these vignettes, and it's very old-school Call of Duty. But the stories themselves, I found like other than the prologue and the Lawrence of Arabia bit, they're all so painfully cliche that it kind of irked me. Where I'm like, literally, if I tell you who the main character is and what's their background, you can figure out the ending of every single vignette when you play them. Just like, oh yeah, the Australian campaign involves an old veteran and a young cadet who's working alongside him. You can kind of predict the ending from there. So I kind of wish that as much as they were well executed, that they tried some fresher storylines. I mean, it's you got like 5 years of history to build off of from World War One. But saying that, oh, and the last complaint was the fantasizing, where as much as I appreciate them trying to keep up the pace with other action games, it felt a little weird where you could carry all these giant machine guns like regular World War II machine guns. And probably the single silliest thing in the whole game was that giant death train thing in the Lawrence of Arabia section. Like, did anyone else get the impression that that was like a Death Star, like their version of that in this game?
Well, I mean, like, so, I mean, there has been some complaints like the use of the Zeppelins in the game, how they're kind of used as like these weapons of war. I mean, in World War One, I actually looked this up if Zeppelins were used during the war, and they were. Like, that was one of the, like, Germany's kind of first, like, air raids over England, was that they bombed London using these war Zeppelins. And, like, and it was actually weird because they couldn't detect the Zeppelins, you know, like the British military, which I thought was kind of weird. But yeah, I don't know if they have. I imagine they also had war trains. I don't know, you know, specifically if that's true, but I know that these Zeppelins were used during World War One as weapons of war. Obviously, they were phased out because they're giant blimps, and you'd be able to shoot them out of the sky as you do very often.
Giant balls of gas.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. As you do very often in Battlefield One. But yeah, I didn't have so much of a problem. Like, I know you have to take creative liberties. I mean, you're not going to have trench warfare unless during those kind of certain multiplayer modes where you have two very opposing sides who have like great players on it, where you're just stuck at that one key point where you're constantly firing at each other and you move progressively kind of forward, like in operations. Like, I know you can't do that for every type of multiplayer mode or every type of campaign. Like, you have, I understand that EA and DICE has to take some liberties with it. So I wasn't too bothered by it. As long as they kind of stuck to the aesthetic and they actually provided me with, a very solid and fun campaign and plenty of multiplayer modes and maps, and I was pretty much satisfied.
Okay. Yeah, no, I agree too. Like, it's still fun to play. Like, even my fantasizing complaints aside, that's just me speaking as a guy who loves reading about wars, especially American wars and just that kind of conflict. But other than that, yeah, this game is super fun. It's super involving. It's a unique look at this kind of warfare, and I totally recommend people playing it. Just go on out and give it a try, and if you feel like it's really your thing, you will probably get sucked into it. It's maybe not as unique as Overwatch in terms of a whole revolution of MOBA-style gameplay, but it's totally worth your time. So I would give it 8.5 out of 10 different nationalities fighting against one another.
Yes, there's quite a few. I actually appreciate the fact this game was so diverse. You know, and actually, I would hope that I wouldn't have minded playing as the Austrian-Hungarian Empire, or the Germans, or even the Ottoman Empire. I think that would have been pretty cool. And maybe eventually DICE will eventually do that.
You sound like an Empire man.
An Empire man? You mean an Imperial?
Like the Darth Vader dudes.
Yeah, the Stormtroopers. I'm not saying, it's complicated. World War I was a complicated conflict. They weren't, at the time, the Germans weren't Nazis yet. They were part of the Entente, I think. I think that's what it was. Okay. Whatever. Okay,
I'm just saying, we have a Herman here, so Herman. Should I start calling you that now?
Yeah, well, we don't mean to bring that up. I feel sorry for you.
Guys, I'm sure I saw a guy with an eye patch hiding inside that barrel.